A blessed and happy Sabbath, dear ones, and welcome to those that are here in the room and to those listening on the phone and to those who will be listening to the recorded service. And it is such a joy to be able to be back with you all, and praise God that we have some visitors in here all the way from Pakistan. And welcome, dear brother and sister. Before we get into our lesson study, I pray that you will please kneel before our God and bow your heads in reverence to Him. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so very much for watching over us in this past week and bringing us all safely together once again to worship Thee in spirit and in truth. Father, we give you full and complete control of this meeting and the other meetings taking place. And we pray that thy presence will be here in our midst. We pray that the presence of our Savior and the Holy Spirit will be here as well. And please, Spirit, lead and guide us into all truth and help us to understand the deeper hidden truths in the words of inspiration that we'll be going over and talking about. Help not a single one to pass us by, but increase our ability to comprehend and understand the truth in what is being spoken to us, especially as it applies to ourselves, so that indeed we might be allowing you to prick us and to work in our hearts, to convict us of all of our sins and of righteousness and of judgment, so that we might be earnest in putting away the sins that are registered against our name in the record books of heaven, and indeed have all of our sins to go beforehand to judgment to be forgiven us, so that these will not follow us afterwards or after the judgment is over and probation is closed to condemn us. So we thank you for being here, dear Godhead, and thank you for allowing us to come together to search in thy word and to worship thee in spirit, to worship thee in truth, and also in song and in talking often one to another of your merciful kindness and benefits that you've showered upon us in this past week. Indeed, Father, pour thy spirit out upon us today and help us to receive the rich blessing that you have in store for all of your people who gather together to worship thee on thy Sabbath day. For we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So let us continue in our lesson book on this wonderful Sabbath morning. And for those that would like to follow along, the lesson book can be found at lightministries.com/ID624.htm. And we're in our book, Steps to Christ, and we're still in chapter 11, which is entitled The Privilege of Prayer. And we're all the way down to the bottom of page 100. And I have the paragraph highlighted there that starts out, Jesus said, ye shall ask in my name. So chapter 11, The Privilege of Prayer, of Steps to Christ, all the way down to the bottom of page 100. Jesus said, ye shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you, for the Father himself loveth you. I have chosen you, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. And this is from John 16, verses 26 to 27, and chapter 15, verse 16. But to pray in the name of Jesus is something more than a mere mention of that name at the beginning and the ending of a prayer. It is to pray in the mind and spirit of Jesus while we believe his promises, rely upon his grace, and work his works. So what does it mean to pray in the name of Jesus? It doesn't mean just to mention the name Jesus in your prayer. But it more importantly means to pray in the same mind and spirit of Jesus, doing the same works that Jesus was doing, relying upon his grace to give power in your life and to make that prayer effectual. So then this means that many people have been praying in the name of Jesus, and yet their prayers have not been beneficial to them, because their life, their character is so unlike the life and character of Jesus. It's the same thing as when Christ was on this earth in physical form. And he mentioned, I believe it's in John chapter 6, that he has declared the name of the Father to the Jewish people. And then towards the end of the chapter, he says, I have manifested the name of the Father to the people. The name is synonymous with the character. So to pray in the name of Jesus, you're praying in his character, making his life a part of your own. And if you want to have your prayers heard by the Father and answered by him, then you must be like his Son. And thus when you pray, he recognizes the prayer, because it's coming from an individual who is like his Son. But if you choose to willingly continue in sin, then don't expect your prayers to be heard and answered, because God doesn't recognize the character that's praying them. Continuing. God does not mean that any of us should become hermits or monks and retire from the world in order to devote ourselves to acts of worship. The life must be like Christ's life, between the mountain and the multitude. He who does nothing but pray will soon cease to pray, or his prayers will become a formal routine. If our prayers become a set form of words that we say over and over and over again when we pray, are they going to do any good for us? No. Because they're not personal. They're just a set form. If you have a friend, but every time you go to them, you say the very same words over and over again to them, and you're never personal with them, are you going to have them as your friend for much longer? And the answer is no. Not unless they really love you a lot and put up with this type of repetitious behavior. God wants us to speak to him from the heart, not from a set routine, but from the heart, just as you would speak to your father, just as you would speak to your friend, your best friend that knows everything about you, so then you have really nothing to hide from them because they know it already. That's how God wants us to pray to him. So God doesn't expect his people to isolate themselves away from everyone so that they can devote their lives to prayer. And neither does he want his people to pray a formal routine. but to pray to Him from the heart, to be honest with Him. Continuing. When men take themselves out of social life, away from the sphere of Christian duty and cross-bearing, when they cease to work earnestly for the Master, who worked earnestly for them, they lose the subject matter of prayer and have no incentive to devotion. Their prayers become personal and selfish. They cannot pray in regards to the wants of humanity or the upbuilding of Christ's kingdom, pleading for strength wherewith to work. So if we don't utilize some of our time in reaching out to others with the truth as it is in Christ, if we don't spend some of our time in earnest evangelistic efforts in trying to bring Christ to others, then what's soon going to happen to our prayers? They will become self-centered. We'll no longer be concerned about praying for help to witness to others, or praying for God to work upon the hearts of others that we're going to be meeting at some point during that day. And neither will we be praying for God's kingdom to be built up and expanded. But our focus will be upon ourselves. Our prayers will be contracted instead of expanded. And we'll lose the incentive to be devoted to God, because we will be more and more devoted to ourselves. We were talking about last night that what we behold, what we spend our time on, where our focus is centered upon, we will become just like it. So if we're focused upon ourselves, then we're not going to be devoted to God. We're going to be devoted to ourselves. And we will be lost. Those who are of the Laodicean church are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked, and yet they don't see it because their focus is all inward instead of upon God and His character, so that by viewing the character of God and then seeing how far away you are from representing it in your own character, that would cause you to crucify self in order to cling to Christ. But if you're focused upon your own self and you are not focused upon Christ, you don't see that anything is wrong with your own life. And that's the danger. That's where the blindness comes in. So if we're not bearing our cross, if we're not crucifying self and doing the will of God in our lives instead of our own will, then our prayers are going to be more and more self-centered, and we're going to become more and more blind to our real miserable condition. Continuing. We sustain a loss when we neglect the privilege of associating together to strengthen and encourage one another in the service of God. The truths of His Word lose their vividness and importance in our minds. What happens when we don't fellowship together with others of like faith? God's truth begins to lose its vividness and importance in our minds. We're no longer as devoted as we once were. That's why it's so important that we utilize all of the various meetings that are being conducted in the church, in our little group here, so that God's words will remain vivid and alive and important in our minds and lives. Continuing, our hearts cease to be enlightened and aroused by their sanctifying influence, and we decline spiritually. So not only does the vividness of God's words begin to dwindle in our mind and understanding, but also our hearts cease, or they stop, to be enlightened and aroused by the sanctifying influence of the truth. And without the vividness of God's word in our lives, and without the enlightened understanding and the sanctification of these words influencing our characters, what's going to happen to our spiritual walk? It's going to go backward instead of forward. We're no longer going to advance, but we're going to retrograde. And all of this is due to the neglect of coming together in fellowship, in union, and in oneness, in worshiping our God together in spirit and in truth. So praise God, dear ones, that He's opened the way for us to be able to come together in one place and to fellowship with others of like faith, no matter where we may be around the world. Because in this way, by coming together and seeking to strengthen and encourage one another in the service of the Lord, then we're making it possible for God's Word to become vivid and important in our minds. We're making it possible for God to fill our hearts with the sanctifying influence of His truth, and to begin to increase in spirituality, to be able to advance farther and higher up that straight and narrow path that ends in eternal life. So indeed, praise God that we're able to come together in one place and truly work to edify, to strengthen, to encourage, and to build up one another in the truth and in the Lord and in the service of His kingdom. God is just truly marvelous, dear ones. So if we neglect the privilege of coming together one with another in the worship of God, then our hearts will cease to be enlightened and aroused by the sanctifying influence of the truth that's found in God's Word, and we will decline in our spiritual life. Continuing, in our association as Christians, we lose much by lack of sympathy with one another. He who shuts himself up to himself is not filling the position that God designed he should. The proper cultivation of the social elements in our nature brings us into sympathy with others and is a means of development and strength to us in the service of God. So when we come together in this small little home church We're not just to come here for the purpose of being fed. What are we to come here for besides understanding the truth? Besides seeking to have our comprehension of God's Word increased? It is to show sympathy for one another. It is to help one another grow in knowledge and in Christ. It is to encourage one another to continue forward and not give up the battle. It is to comfort one another and to seek to help them understand why certain things are coming against them the way they are. And then to give them the words of comfort and encouragement to move forward, to look to Christ. It's also to pray for one another. It's also to sing praises to God. And by raising our voices in song, edify the hearts of those who listen. All of these beautiful things are accomplished by coming together in fellowship. And that's where we can receive the greater outpouring of God's Spirit, blessing us in our efforts to forget about self and to help one another. That's the purpose of this church, dear ones. That's why we're not so formal in how we conduct the services. But we give plenty of room for people to ask questions, to give comments, to sing songs, to encourage one another. Because it's time to go home. This wicked world has nothing to offer us of any value. And the only way we're going to make it to heaven is for a greater and greater outpouring of God's Spirit to enliven our hearts, to awaken us from the dead, and make us alive in Christ. So yes, it's important that when we come together, we seek to gain the blessing of an increased understanding and comprehension of God's Word. But in addition to that, we should also come together and be quick to discern how we can help one another here, how we can edify them or encourage them or comfort them, and thus truly fulfill the law by loving others as much as we love ourselves. Are there any thoughts or comments before we continue, dear ones?
A Sabbath blessings to everyone and those listening in. You know, Brother Matt, I'm going to let you go first because you really hardly get a chance to bring forth a word, and I would be rejoiced in heart to hear it. Oh, praise the Lord, dear brother. We're going to keep that in prayer because I know that we would all be very much rejoiced in heart to be able to hear what the Lord has laid on your heart and how you have been overcoming and conquering in your walk, too. So we're going to definitely keep that in prayer that we can hear those testimonies to glorify the Lord. I wanted to share, greetings and Sabbath blessings to everyone listening in and those who will be, a bit of a confession also in confirming what was being read by you, dear Brother Rob. It's very true that we can get stuck in even a rut where we see our problems. And I say this because this is where I was at one point. We see our problems and our tribulations, and my prayer was very much focused on my problems and my tribulations. And I noticed, very much so, that as I continue to pray in what, you know, I came to learn and understand by God's grace, even as coming in and fellowshipping with all the brothers and sisters here and getting into the Word and Spirit of Prophecy and being convicted by the Holy Spirit, I realized that much of my prayer was about my problems. And how was the Lord going to help me with those problems? And all this is now a struggle too. And then this is a problem too. And it really was more of a focus on those things instead of what I really need to focus on more and pray about more. Yes, the Lord wants to hear what it is that I'm going through. This is true. He cares very much. He loves me very much. He loves us all very much. So he wants to hear what we're struggling with. However, I allowed my struggles or troubles to become such a part of my prayer life that even as was just read here and taught here, it's really the only thing that I focused on. And even my walk becoming more intimate was not becoming more intimate because all I was caring about even through my prayer was myself. When the Lord started to show me that, and actually, he really did it in a beautiful way, bring situations and people as I walked about and running errands and things like that, granting me opportunities to see what it is that they're struggling with and see that there is a word of encouragement I need to give this person and open my mouth up so that I could at least share Christ here and share Christ there and God's love and encourage them that they are loved. And there were a few different times when I had the opportunity and my mouth would open just to encourage them because you could see the burden and the weight of their problems were all on them. And when they spoke about something, it was in such just heaviness of heart. I had to really, you know, my mouth could not stay shut. I had to let that person know, you know, the Lord God has not forgotten you, you know. And he does love you very much. Do you have a Bible? Do you spend time in prayer? It was things like these that brought the conversations up. And then as I would go back and spend time in prayer, by God's grace, I was finding the Holy Spirit was placing that person back on my heart again. Though it had been hours, and it was a very small meeting at that time, almost in passing, the Holy Spirit brought the person back to my heart again. And then I found myself praying for that person. Then in that situation, as I prayed for that person, it's really a loving way in which God does all these things because I, as I've confessed before, I can be quite hard-headed. So then he would bring another person whom I hadn't prayed for, like I used to really keep in prayer on a regular basis. He brought that person back to my mind. And I would be like, oh, yes, Lord, I wonder how they're doing. Lord, see, forgive me. You see how I've done this? And all this talking about myself? And as I started rambling about that, he would say, okay, enough of that. Get back to prayer. I already know that you're going to turn this into a long conversation about yourself again. So just get back to prayer. So as I started to do that more, even as you were saying, dear brother, and as it was written, the more that I trained my heart and this flesh also to stop whining and complaining and go through our family, our beautiful family here in Christ, and pray for my brothers and sisters, and then it brought it out to, okay, my sisters, my other family, and then it broadened out to all the person that I had saw on the train or on the bus or someone I stopped to talk to inside of the store and mentioned Christ to there or overheard. Sometimes I'll just overhear someone who's just really, they may just be on the phone in truth, and they're really disheartened and frustrated, or I see them crying. Their face will just come back to me, and I'll try to remember that person. I don't know the person's name, but the Lord knows the person. So I guess I wanted to share that in that I can testify that it is a very true thing. If we really focus more on ourselves in our prayer time, and our prayers will definitely, because I did find that to be true too, dear brother, that my prayer did become very formal and repetition because I would always be complaining about the same things. So I always have basically the same stuff to talk about. I just reword it differently. So I praise God that in his mercy and grace, he brought me out of that kind of funk. And whenever I start to even think, or my flesh even wants me to try to slip back into that for a moment, I just praise God and give him the glory and try to find the song in my heart. And well, there's so many different songs that we share here, whether scripture songs or otherwise. So there's different ways in which the Holy Spirit can stir us up to shake that kind of dust off of the earth and so that we can be transported in prayer, you know, into the heavenly atmosphere, the heavenly realms, where we don't have to be bound down by the weight of this world, because we don't have to be. And where we find our power in Christ, right before the throne, grabbing hold to the horns of the altar and pleading with God for these souls and also for our deliverance and for the needs of the whole body and his return here and all these things like that. So I thank you all for bearing with me for so long of a ramble, but I just had to give God the glory there and confirm that what is said, you know, at least in my life personally, is very true. And it does happen, and it can happen, and I just pray that we don't allow that to happen to ourselves. Okay, one more thing. What I also did find out is that when I was going through that phase, is here's two things that happened. I found that my prayers are very, how can I say, very timed. I'll have to say it that way. They're very timed. I don't know if any of you understand what I mean by that. But I found that they're very much timed. They have a certain specific amount of time, and it's like your flesh wants to let you know, okay, you got done with all that. All right, let's go. And that you'll watch the clock. And I don't know why that is, but I found that when the Lord, you just give your whole heart to the Lord in your prayer time, and you're really starting to plead and intercede for others, you don't know what time it is, and in truth, you really don't care. You might get a nudge in the back of your head, you know, maybe the Holy Spirit knows, okay, you have an appointment, you do have some place you have to be. But if you really don't and you made yourself time for that prayer time, it's like you lose track of it. And you, when you get up and you do eventually say you take a look at the time, you don't even realize that much time had gone by because the time had been so sweet. At least that's what I've discovered. It's like, wow. And yet I find this too in great rejoicing. You have so much more rejoicing to do, and you realize, wow, there was so much more, though, I could have prayed for. There were so many others and so much other things. And wow, so I just wanted to share that, too. Thank you.
This is Sabbath, everyone. I just wanted to share my experience concerning when I come into looking to ourselves and how horrible it. I started to pick up this analogy. You ever seen a beautiful garden that the Lord has given you the opportunity to be a keeper? If you sit and wallow and wondering what is going on with you, they have flowers in the garden that might be lacking water, sunlight. Maybe there will be weeds trying to be able to come and block the sun from it, and sometimes it falls amidst. By the time that we are sitting, looking to see what is going on with us, God's beautiful roses and plants and shrubs are being neglected. They are not being watered. They have not been looked upon. If we look upon the responsibility that we have, because the whole world is basically going one way, and God's people, yes, we are small in number, for the responsibility and the time that we have and the responsibility of giving the word of God in this time. This is a gospel. It's like new wine that no one either heard it or they need to hear it because of the time that we live in. You will find yourself thinking, Father, I'm so selfish. Here I am in the privilege of being called in such a time as this that many of our brothers and sisters, see that they're sleeping, that would love to have the chance to be able to be here, to be part of this love cry. And at the same time, how about those that are in the Word of God that would have wanted to be in this place now? Like right now, my thoughts right here, even though I am actually thanking God for being here, my thought is in Sister Lynn, Sister Michelle, Sheila, all these different people that they are not here present. At this moment, lifting up a prayer, Father Jesus, wherever they are, in whatever circumstances that they may be, please, Lord, put your hand in it. Raise them up. You know, we have to be able to look outside of ourselves because there's so much work to do and we don't have that much time. So when you start thinking about what it is, Lord, you know, I don't know what is going to happen today. Well, the Lord says that if we seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness, he said all these things shall be added unto you. So this is my a way how I have realized that by sitting down, thinking about myself, flowers are dying, shrubs are withering, waters are not actually in place in the area where it's needed. I just wanted to share that as an encouragement, because the more we do for others, the Lord will be taking care of the things then that we would have been taking care of. So if we first do His will, He will in exchange bless us in our daily task. I just wanted to share that.
I just wanted to say, well, basically, thanks for this lesson. This really impressed upon me here, this passage. I just wanted to share this thought. So the life must be like Christ's life between the mountain and the multitude. He who does nothing but pray will soon cease to pray, or his prayers will become a formal routine. And I just thought, you know, before I join, you know, everyone here in study and worship, I harbored, and I've come to find this out, a lot of erroneous beliefs, things I thought I knew, but really didn't, and I've discovered the paucity of my own knowledge here. But this really struck me because it reminds me of the Cenobitic orders in the Catholic Church. The prayers will become a formal routine. That's the liturgy of the hours, you know, where they literally have a set of matins and vespers and I can't really remember the other ones, but yeah, it says it right there. It's amazing.
Amen, brother, and thank you for your comment. And praise the Lord that He's awakening you to what the real truth is, and then giving you the strength and the grace and the courage to throw away the wrong understanding in order to embrace the correct understanding. Because that just shows how much God loves and cares for you, brother. And He's doing the same with each one of us. None of us in this room are to the knowledge of the Lord and understanding truth. Each and every one of us are children in understanding compared to the Lord. Infants in understanding. And each and every one of us are having to learn and unlearn in our growth and walk with the Lord. So you're not alone, dear brother. We're striving to be like the Lord, but we have so much more to learn and so much worthless material to get rid of. But praise the Lord that He loves each of us, and He's working with each of us, and He's leading and guiding us into a more full understanding of His will. And again, I just praise God that we're able to come together and to worship Him as a united family, if you will. To worship our God together as a group, united in Christ. It's a thrill in my heart. It really is. But dear Sister Rose, you brought up a very good point. And before we go any further, let's please bow our heads and pray for those that were not able to be with us today. Our dear precious Father, Lord, I pray in a special way that You will be with all of those who were unable to attend, that You will work in their lives, You will protect them, You will comfort them, encourage them, and please deliver them from whatever circumstances or unsavory conditions have brought about their inability to fellowship on this Thy blessed Sabbath. And we thank You so much for being with them. Thank You so much for leading and guiding them upward. And please let them know that others are praying for them and are concerned for them. And Lord willing, they'll soon come back and be with us once again. We thank You for hearing and answering this prayer. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Now, before we continue on, some of you may remember, I think it was two Sabbaths ago, we were in this subject of understanding prayer. And I mentioned that I had heard of an incident that had taken place where some scientists had got together and they wanted to determine if there was any type of electrical discharge or release when a person died, because they were atheists and they had heard about the idea of the spirit leaving the body at death, and so they wanted to see if there was any kind of electrical give-off. Do you remember me telling that? Well, I was able to get on the internet, and I found the actual scientist that was giving his testimony, one of the scientists that actually took part in this particular experiment. And I mentioned that it was watts, and it turned out it wasn't watts, it was amperes. So I just wanted to read what he said here about his experiment so that you can understand it a little bit more. And for those that would like to have a copy of the doctor's words here, or the scientist's words here, please email me at lightmin@tarragon.com, and I'll be more than happy to send you a copy of it. But this is what he says. And the guy's name is Dr. N. Jerome Stowell, and he was a leading nuclear scientist back in the 50s, I believe it was, when this was taking place. So this is what he says. I was almost a devout atheist. I didn't believe that God was any more than a conglomeration of everyone's mind put together. And the good that was there, that was God as far as I was concerned. As for the real all-powerful God existing and loving us all with power over everything, I didn't believe that. Then one day I had an experience that really set me thinking. I was in a large pathological laboratory, and we were attempting to find the wavelength of the brain. We found more than just a wavelength of the brain. We found a channel of wavelengths, and that channel has so much room in it that the different wavelengths of each individual brain are farther separated in identity than the fingerprints on each human hand. This is a point we should remember. God can actually keep in heaven a record of our thoughts as individuals, just as the FBI can keep a record of our fingerprints in Washington, D.C. We wanted to make an experiment to discover what took place in the brain at the moment of transition from life to death. We chose a lady whose family had sent her to a mental institution, but who had been discharged. The doctors could find nothing wrong with her other than the fact that she had cancer of the brain. This affected the balance of her body only. As far as her alertness of mind was concerned, and in every other way, she was exceptionally brilliant. But we knew that she was on the verge of death, and she was informed in this research hospital that she was going to die. We arranged a tiny pickup in her room to ascertain what would take place in the transition of her brain from life to death. We also put a very small microphone about the size of a shilling or a quarter in the room so that we could hear what she said if she had anything to say. Five of us hardened scientists, perhaps I was the hardest and most atheistic of the group, were in an adjoining room with our instruments prepared to register and record what transpired. Our device had a needle pointing to zero in the center of a scale. To the right of the scale was calibrated to 500 points positive. To the left of the scale was calibrated to 500 points negative. We previously had registered on this identical instrument the power used by a 50 kilowatt broadcasting station in sending a message around the world. Kilowatt, of course, is 1,000 watts, so 50,000 watt broadcasting station. The needle registered 9 points on the positive side when they measured this 50,000 watt broadcasting station's amperage output. As the last moments of this woman's life arrived, she began to pray and to praise the Lord. She asked the Lord God to be merciful unto those who had despitefully used her. Then she reaffirmed her faith in God, telling him she knew he was the only power and that he was the living power. She told God he always had been and always would be. She praised God and thanked him for his power and for her knowledge of his reality. She told them how much she loved him. We scientists had been so engrossed with this woman's prayer that we had forgotten our experiment. We looked at each other and saw tears streaming down scientific faces. I had not shed tears since I was a child. Suddenly, we heard a clicking sound on our forgotten instrument. We looked, and the needle was registering a positive 500, desperately trying to go higher, only to bounce against the 500 positive post in its attempt. By actual instrumentation, we had recorded that the brain of a woman, alone and dying, in communication with God, had registered more than 55 times the power used by a 50-kilowatt broadcasting station sending a message around the world. After this, we decided to try a case very unlike the first one. We chose a man lying in the research hospital stricken with a deadly social disease. His brain had become atrophied to the point of death. He was practically a maniac. After we had set up our instruments, we arranged for one of the nurses to antagonize the man. Through her wiles, she had attracted his interest in her and then suddenly told him she didn't want to have anything more to do with him. He began to verbally abuse her, and the needle began to register on the negative side. Then he cursed her and took the name of God in vain. The needle suddenly clicked back and forth against the 500 negative post. He then goes on to say, by actual instrumentation, we had registered what happened in the brain when the brain broke one of God's Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord and thy God in vain. We had established by instrumentation the positive power of God and the negative power of the adversary. We had found that beneficial truth is positive and that non-beneficial things covered by the thou shalt not of the Ten Commandments are negative in varying degrees. If we scientists can record these things, I believe with all my heart that the Lord God can keep a record of our thoughts. He has more power than we have and is a better record keeper than any of us on this earth. So I wanted to share that with you because he explained it so much better than I did. But the issue here is that our prayers are not just words that are within our mind, but they are actually something that goes to God with an electrical power, with an amperage. Now, obviously, there's no way that we ourselves can send our prayers all the way to where God's throne in heaven is, which is some trillions of light years away. But the heavenly angels take the prayers directly to God and then bring answers back to us. But it does show you that when you pray to God, it's not just a form. There's actually something there. Your prayers are concrete things that you can send to God, and God will hear it. We're just fearfully and wonderfully made, dear ones. Are there any other thoughts or comments before we close, dear ones? You're welcome. And it is just truly marvelous because that was done back in the 50s, I believe. And the one scientist that was writing it converted over to Christianity because he recognized that if praying to God could register 500 points or 50 times more power than a 50,000 watt broadcasting station, and in breaking the commandments and cursing God or taking his name in vain would register the opposite negative scale, the same amount, then he realized that there was indeed a God in heaven and there was indeed a devil. And as such, then, the Bible is real and Jesus Christ must be real and the plan of salvation must be real, and thus he was in danger of losing his soul for denying that God existed. So he converted over just because of this experiment. So prayer is indeed a real method that you can use to directly communicate with God. And prayer is just one of the things that we're to do in this room. We're all to pray to God. We're all to pray for one another. But it's not the only thing that we're to do as we associate together. We're to seek to encourage, to strengthen one another, to edify and build up each other in the Lord. In other words, we're to come away from self and think more of the welfare of others. And in doing so, we ourselves are being blessed in an immeasurable way. And God will increase and multiply those blessings. I remember a neighbor friend went along with the family, I think it was Michelle, to help out some poor and needy in the community. And when she got back and she was explaining her experience to us here in the family, she goes, "You know, I have never felt so good in doing what we were doing, in helping that individual." And that is true, dear ones. When we forget self and when we work to help someone else, the feeling of contentment and happiness and joy is so fulfilling. It is so greater than any so-called happiness and joy that you feel by satisfying your own desires. But to help others, you experience a joy that passeth all understanding. Because in doing so, Christ is right there helping you. And in his presence is joy, everlasting joy. So let us experience this everlasting joy every time we come together and meet together as we empty ourselves and work for the edification and the building up of our fellow brothers and sisters here. And if you do so, then you know without a doubt you are growing and advancing in grace as well as in the knowledge of the character of Jesus Christ your Savior. And you will indeed be filled. I ask you to please bow your heads and kneel as far as possible for closing prayer. Our dear precious Father in heaven, we thank you for being here. We thank you, Father, for opening our eyes and understandings to comprehend a little bit more of the blessedness that is possible to be received by each individual here and each individual listening and each individual of thy people around the world that are fellowshipping together, if they will just empty themselves in order to be filled and to benefit one another. Please continue to be with us in the following services. And Father, again, please pour thy Spirit out upon us in rich abundance. Indeed, let us partake of the early and the latter rain, so that we might indeed live the life of our Savior and spread the knowledge of our Savior far and wide. Thank you so much for doing so and for being here. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. So let us take just 5 minutes, and then we'll come back after the break at 11:09. So just a short 5-minute break, dear ones.